Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by Mr. David Iaski, who is a Democrat running for State Senate in the 23rd District. Welcome, sir. Good to have you here with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
It's been a long while, right?
It's been a long while. I know. I'm old.
I'm right there with you.
No. You aren't. Trust me.
I got the gray hair to show it.
You don't show it. I feel it.
All right. Thank you. So tell us, who is David Iaski and why are you running for the Senate District, the 23rd Senate District?
Sure. Well, I've been in government for a long time, I guess. That's worked for the city government, was a city council member, and then ran the City Taxi and Limousine Commission. I worked for the federal government, for Chuck Schumer, and then for the state government. And so, you know, I know backwards and forwards, and I know what works, and I know what doesn't work. And unfortunately, right now, there's a lot that doesn't work, and we are facing some tough times in the state. You know, COVID, it's not over as a pandemic, but we don't really understand even, I think, the long-term impact that it's going to have on the city and the state. And with people working from home, they don't have to be in the city anymore. It really puts our core economic base at risk. And meanwhile, you have hundreds of thousands of school children who missed a year, in effect, lost a year of school, not just the learning, but the socializing part. You know, every time I talk to a teacher, they tell me about how their students in third grade, it's like they're in kindergarten, or they're, you know, sixth graders and they can't do fourth grade math because they lost a year of it. And making up that is going to be a huge challenge. And then, you know, every place you look, the public housing, the New York City Housing Authority, which was never did a great job, I think it's actually worse than it was 10 years ago. So the state has a lot to do to make, you know, the city a better place to live for the people who live here. And I'm running because I have the experience and the skills from my time in government to make it do a better job. Simple as that. On everything from crime to housing to jobs, that we have a lot of work to do, and I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and do it.
Okay, so before we talk about your vision, can you just give us an idea of your district? Who
Sure.
is in your district here?
Yeah, well, the state legislature just drew new districts, and you know, some of them they're brand new. So this one has a chunk of Brooklyn along the waterfront in near downtown Brooklyn. So Dumbo and Brooklyn Heights, Cobble Hill, Carroll Gardens, and Red Hook. But then it skips down to Coney Island, and it's Coney Island, Brighton Beach, Seagate. And then it goes to Staten Island and has a chunk of the Staten Island North Shore. So it's three pretty different areas that aren't used to being represented by the same person. So part of the challenge, I think, is just getting folks all throughout the district, you know, to understand what we have in common and also how we're going to all work together. I have experience doing that. When I was in the city council, I represented a very diverse district. It had very affluent neighborhoods. It had large public housing complexes. It had a neighborhood largely immigrant and largely low income. It had Williamsburg, the part of Williamsburg that's largely Hasidic Jewish, kind of a community all to itself. So I'm used to representing a district with, you know, a lot of different areas and neighborhoods. But, you know, this one is very much like that also.
Okay. So you mentioned that we are in challenging times. What are some of the main issues facing those different communities that you seek to represent? And what is your vision for that district?
Yes. All right. I'll start with housing because, you know, all over. I mean, it's probably true every part of the city, but housing and affordable housing is just a huge challenge. My vision starts with, first of all, we have to allow for more building of housing because we need more apartments for a city that is, you know, always growing. But those apartments have to be affordable to a teacher, a supermarket worker, a transit worker. It can't be all priced million-dollar co-ops. And when I was in the city council, I wrote a rule in the zoning code that says when there is a zoning change, some of the new apartments have to be affordable. And now Mayor de Blasio made that a citywide rule, and I'd like to keep pushing on that. And I think we can, in fact, have it more affordability and affordability for a broader range of people because in New York City, a family that earns $30,000 a year absolutely needs help with housing. But often, a family that earns $70,000 a year and has two kids, they also can't afford the market rent. So we need affordability for a range of people. So that's part of it. And then the other part is public housing. And really, NYCHA, the New York City Housing Authority that runs all the public housing complexes that house 500,000 New Yorkers. It's an astonishing number of people. I feel like they've practically given up. They've put out a plan that says, well, we'll just kind of turn our responsibilities over to either private developers or a new trust. And I think that's abdicating responsibility. We have to get NYCHA to do its job. When somebody has a hole in their bathroom wall, it can't go a year until it's fixed. We just had in Stapleton Houses in Staten Island a building that had no gas, no cooking gas for 8 months. Whoa. 8 months. And these people are paying rent for these apartments and 8 months of cooking with a hot plate. And that's sometimes I think that the city is a worse landlord than the, than some of the private landlords. Mm-hmm. And so my vision is a NYCHA that is held accountable and that spends the money that it gets to make the apartments not just habitable, but decent places to live. Okay, jobs. You can't be a city also that has only jobs at the very high end and minimum wage. We found one opportunity, again, when I was in the council, in film and TV production, which we've tripled the number of jobs there. And those are good union jobs that pay $50, $60, $70 an hour. Now, offshore wind, I think, is the next place that we have a real opportunity because the state is going to invest $8 billion in offshore wind over the next several years. Five giant wind farms out in the Atlantic, and all the work on that should be done here in Brooklyn and Staten Island. You have the Staten Island Howland Hook port, which can be a hub for offshore wind industry. We have South Brooklyn Marine Terminal, and not just the kind of maintenance of those farms, but really even the construction and the assembly of these turbines, that should be done here in New York. Those are the kind of good jobs I want to bring. And then last, it's a tough issue, but it's how are we dealing with climate change and flooding? Red Hook, Coney Island, both parts of the district that are some of the parts of the city that are most vulnerable and that have seen not just Sandy. Everyone remembers the damage that was done by Sandy. But even since then, you've had flooding in places that never got flooding before. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying there's no kind of quick fix to that, but what we need is a combination of barriers and seawalls that will moderate storm surges. We need infrastructure that is hardened or placed up higher. You see it already in some place in Coney Island when people build homes, they're building up a little higher so that they're not flooded. And then there are some places where you're just going to have the city or the state, kind of move people away and businesses away from the shoreline because in 20 years it's just not going to be viable.
Okay. So you look into being in the Senate. What are your views on the proposed budget of Governor Hochul?
Yeah. I guess on the whole, there's a lot of good in this budget. The child care funding is an enormous step forward. That's the big kind of, I think, unfinished challenge of the change in culture, where now you know the workforce is as much women as is men. You know, 50 years ago, maybe you didn't need so much of that childcare, but now, and it's good, you do. And people can't go to work if they don't have childcare. So the government has to take that responsibility, and this is a start. I think that I would have liked to have seen, again, more on housing, more on NYCHA. I think on the whole, it was a good budget.
How about the money for the Beale Stadium?
look, that wouldn't be my top priority. I'm not going to say, I know that legislators, you have to bargain and you never get everything you want. That certainly would not have been my top priority and is not my priority.
Okay. Do you have any views on bail reform?
Well, I think, the legislature... Okay, I have a few points. One is, I do think it's been over politicized. Look, we have shootings are up, really doubled over a few years. Mm-hmm. That's very real. And people, New York need to be safe. We can't take for granted safe streets, safe parks. When I was a teenager and people said, well, you can't go into the parks at night and you can't go on the subway at night. But and now, that's been a tremendous benefit to people throughout the city. The crime is down so much compared to what it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Now, it is up, but that doesn't mean panic. It means you have to be kind of, smart and measured about it. I guess I want to see, we'll see what they made some changes. And I know, what the state legislature did. They've changed the bail reform. I think the bail reforms, by the way, that were put in place were good. Like everything, you see how things work, and then, if they need some changes, I don't think that's necessarily bad.
Make adjustments.
You make adjustments. I see they've made a little tougher on gun crimes. I think that is probably good. And they changed, some of the rules about what kind of information prosecutors have to share with defense lawyers. And I know that like Eric Gonzalez, the Brooklyn DA, who I think is a tremendous DA, had advocated for those changes. So I respect him and I respect his judgment. So I think, we'll see how these latest changes play out. And, I'm assuming... I'm not looking to do anything further, but, we'll see how these changes play out.
Okay, so going back to your campaign, what sort of endorsement support have you received for your campaign so far?
Well, I'm happy to say that in the kind of area that I used to represent, so this district we talked about before goes from South Beach and Staten Island all the way up to Dumbo in Brooklyn, and the part I used to represent in the downtown Brooklyn area, I'm really pleased that by the support I've gotten there, from the Democratic Club in the area to Joanne Simon, the assembly member, who was really, I think of a really hardworking member of the legislature. So people who are familiar with my work right off the bat have said, great, we know you did a great job in the council and we want to see you in the state legislature. And now I'm working to introduce myself and my ideas and my record to people in the rest of the district. And, I'm confident more endorsements and more support will follow.
And the unions?
Well, unions are now just kind of beginning their process. Okay. I've had interviews with maybe half a dozen so far, and I know more to come. So they're in their process right now.
Okay. So, Mr. Yasky, how can one support or learn more about your campaign?
Well, certainly go to my website. That's davidyasky.com, davidyasky.com. Shoot me an email, please. I love to engage directly with people who, are interested in government and have ideas, and some of the best ideas have in my career that I've worked on have come from, people at a community board meeting or just talking at a subway stop. So I really hope people reach out. I mean, one of the best things I think about running for office is getting to just engage with so many neighbors and you know, Brooklynites and Staten Islandites are pretty, pretty folks who care a lot about their neighborhood, and they tend to have some pretty good ideas. One thing I will say I've been struck by just in the door-to-door, whether it's West Brighton or Stapleton or St. George or Carroll Gardens or Coney Island, it's a district with real neighborhoods that people feel proud of and attached to. And government has to respect that. And sometimes I feel like, New York City and New York State are such big entities that they just don't understand how, for a regular person in your neighborhood, you just want it to be kind of clean and safe and have at least an okay subway ride. And, sometimes politics gets caught up in these really ideological issues instead of the meat and potatoes. And I'm focused on the meat and potatoes also.
All right. So thank you so much for being here today. We wish you the very best, and we look forward to having you back again.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and always look forward to coming. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
People Power and Politics. Hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.